this is just as an example.
Does it not matter the colour?
Three. Does it matter? No, that's just the card that I, that's just the card I had left. So couldn't have them all as the same colour. I could put those in the middle like that. So then you each have, let's say, you are the government. I don't show those to anybody. Let's say that you
can I look
are.
At them?
Yeah, yeah, you can look at them, just don't show them anybody else. You can be civil society. You can be.
Turn them all over, yeah?
Yeah, you can have a look at all three. Don't show them to anybody else, though. You can be. You can be big tech. Okay. So.
Oh, okay.
Right, out of the three that I've just given you about your roles, is remove one, just pick two. And remove one and give that one back to me.
Of these ones?
No.
Of this?
Out of the stakeholder ones, not the decision cards. Okay. Thank you.
So we keep one?
No, you keep two.
Just give me one back. Thank you very much. So, for example, in terms of, which one's this one, startups, it says reach the masses, raise trust to 30. So everybody starts at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Then trust is this little icon here.
I have to go all the way to that.
And my target is to get trust to there.
Okay.
Okay? So that's so you've got two targets,
okay.
Yeah. Which you've got to try and achieve before the game finishes.
Okay.
So using your cards, you obviously want to choose the card that helps you get to where you need to be. Okay? So you all choose one of those three cards and put it in the middle.
Wait, I forgot what they mean.
So I'm presuming the corner bit where it's got numbers.
Yep.
It's the. Okay.
Yeah. So on the card, you'll have these three numbers. So I was saying about kind of, I've got to get...
Where do we put this then?
So just put it in the middle. So you can face it up. Oh. You can face it up, show everybody. So you've got, so for example, I had raised trust to 30. Well, this one is totally neutral regarding trust, so I probably wouldn't want to play that one because it didn't actually move it whatsoever.
Mm.
However,
so on the corner, it tells you it's got like numbers. So I'm presuming the highest of that would be what would you go with?
Yep.
Depending
on what you want, what outcome you want.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Get it. Okay.
So you've got these ones. And it could be that somebody else has put one down and you've gone, ooh, that would really help me as well.
Yeah.
Actually, it might help me more. So what you do is that at the end of each round, when everybody puts something down, you've got a vote token each.
Hello.
Hello, hello. You've got a vote token each. So now you place your vote on the one that you want to win.
Okay. So as in this token?
That's your token.
Right.
Okay. So which one do you want to take forward?
We have to vote for it.
And you can vote any of them. It doesn't have to be your own. It could be any of them whatsoever. Just whichever one helps you to achieve your own particular goals.
Mm-hmm. So what does that? What is that? What does it signify?
That one. Benefit. That one is benefit.
Okay.
So meant to be kind of to benefit or allegedly.
So what happens after you've reached your target? Do you win?
So no, you just keep going.
Oh.
With you, until all the cards have gone, so that all the cards are played, and the game is over, and then you see who has reached their overall target.
Okay.
So it could be that when you play it initially, nobody meets both of their objectives. You might meet one, but not both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the second time, what you're trying to do is show them by trading. And by creating influence in the game, this is how you can start to achieve certain things, but then create an imbalance. Because let's say Zamzam, as you know, as the overlord that she is, big tech, is that she might just have, we might just kind of start throwing tokens around all the time to try and make sure that she's the one that kind of benefits the most at the punishment of somebody else. So it's just about trying to say there's different players, there's different roles within the creation of a smart city. That's really the whole point of the game. Obviously, everybody's have a little bit of fun while you're doing
it. Yeah, it's actually great.
You guys need to explain it so much to win. I would have got my
preamble to the game is a smart city in general. Those features, you know, trying to extract a little bit of experience or information from the group to say, you know, what is it that you've seen? What do you recognise as a smart city, mm-hmm. whether that's locally or nationally or internationally? Mm-hmm. Try to kind of extract some of those examples for you. Then it's about kind of saying there's different players, there's different stakeholders that create a smart city or have a role to play in the creation of a smart city or development of one. That leads into the game because that's about kind of, well, in a nutshell, saying these are the kind of the five broad challenges or outcomes. These are the five different kind of stakeholders in that conversation. And then they just have these different priorities. So they kind of vote which one they want to kind of take forward. And obviously different stakeholders will have their own different priorities. So we can kind of match and saying, you know, it's a complex picture, you know. So then we bring in the conversation about what role do citizens play. Mm-hmm. So that's the bit probably where I'd look for you guys to have some kind of input in terms of capturing that conversation. So it can be a case of maybe just positioning down one of you at each of the tables and then hosting a conversation about that, saying there's all these different roles to play, but in terms of, you know, kind of citizenry and citizenship, what role do we play? What is that open democracy?
Took me to a space, and that's a bit that makes me feel like I'm in the
same place. Yeah, nearly.
Smart
citizens
are not going
to matter. I get asked in front of me, even though I've been
How are you all doing?
Not bad, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you very much. Waking up, the caffeine's kicking in. Starting to listen to the word. I feel like I'm alive again. That's all that's good. So welcome to our public engagement event around Leicester as a smart city. I have some familiar faces in front of me. I know the troublemakers in the room. But don't recognise everybody, because that's always be good to get to know people as the day wears on. Say the day, it's only a couple of hours. I don't want to scare you thinking you're here until locked in until 7 o'clock and meeting there. So we'll try to wrap up by about 2 o'clock. The session's totally informal. Just to give you a little bit of, if you've not been here before, obviously a little bit of a landscape. Is that the LCB depot has two blocks, this one here, and the main block over, which probably came through via reception that way. Cafe, toilets, reception, break.
So my name's Darren. I've been part of this project for just over, is it coming up to 2 months now? So in my day-to-day, I'm a community activist and humanitarian, and also a life coach, but for me, to be part of this project is to really be the voice and speak to our community to let them know that there's other platforms out there for them to share and express, so not other people are writing the narrative, it's they are responsible, and how we create communities within our own communities to know that they can have a voice, and the ways that they can do that to empower us. That's my purpose as to why I'm part of this project.
So as Amory said, we've been doing this with all for the past almost 2 months, I think. It's been quite the journey. We've learned so much from each other and with each other as well. And I think pretty much when Rob said, what is a smart city, first question we had was like, we're looking at each other, what's a smart city? We know what a smartphone is, we know what a smart city. So it's been a quite a journey discovering what smart city is, what the future of a smart city has been. I feel like everywhere I go now, I can't get away with smart features. I keep attracting things around me, and I keep taking pictures. So I guess we are in the right direction. I'm hoping today, you know, you guys can take something out of that and learn something and take it away, and perhaps, you know, enrich somebody else, whether it's a family member, colleague, or wider public.
Good morning. Myself, Bindu, and we all are working together since I think last 2 months that we are connected to each other, learning from each other, and our teacher is Rob. and he's teaching us more about, and we are learning, still learning how to use this equipment and how to take interviews from the people. And yes, I do work with the community radio multilingualism from EVA-FM, but its presentation is easy. Rather than going to the people and asking them, some of the people are not ready to give the interview, they are not ready to speak to us, and what is a smart city that we are trying to explain them, and just we are trying to go forward and hopefully that we can make it. Thank you.
Yeah, so hi guys, I'm Medina. I came into this pretty blind, actually. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But it's been great. I've met some amazing people. I've stepped out of my comfort zone, like with the Vox Pops and like talking to people and like organising events. So it's been a lot of firsts. And hopefully, you know, we can all teach each other something. It's been great having some great discussions with some great people.
My role has been so far is really to kind of facilitate sessions with the reporters who just introduced themselves, to explore together Smart City and also what it means to engage with people and to capture some really useful information. So hopefully they'll be putting their skills to the test today. Yes, yes, you'll be pretty excellent. So everybody else's role is really just to take part in that conversation and hopefully to go a little bit of a journey yourself in terms of discovering Smart City. However, what would be particularly useful is to find out a little bit more on your tables about your own experiences, your own understandings of what a smart city is. So remember what Rob said, you reporters, you're there to ask the questions, to capture the conversation. If you wanted to interject and wanted to kind of keep the conversation going, then please do. But obviously, try to facilitate that conversation on your table about your own understandings and experiences of what a smart city is. What does it mean to you? You might have experienced a bit abroad, you might have seen some of it, you might have been part of some smart city strategy yourself in your professional or personal life. But I'm just going to hand it over to you.
It's good for the driver, it's good for the customer.
Well, but, as well, having that their money on that.
I mean, is it an inclusive outcome? I don't know.
I mean, it's like electric cars. Electric cars, when they were first thought of, it was looked upon as being a cheap alternative. It'd be cheaper to charge your car than to fill it up with petrol. Yeah, that's really going to happen these days. You know, where if people are scared to put on their ovens and that, what chance you've got of them actually charging up their car if they can afford to run the car in the first place? So society, I mean, the city centre as well has gone and died. Yeah, there are no shops these days. The number of shops in the city centre has actually dwindled, but they still exist. The trouble is now they're all on cyberspace. So you can do your shopping locally as long as you've got on the internet. Yeah, you can still buy Iceland and all the old big names, all the rest of it, and get delivered to your door. You need not set foot out of your door. If you work from home, and if you have your food delivered from a supermarket, and you don't go out socialising for whatever reason or resting, you need not set foot out your front door. And unfortunately, there are people who are living like that. Yeah, I think the pandemic was probably the catalyst for a greater spell of people isolating. And I've said it before that the result of pandemic realistically was a case of having a sort of pandemic agoraphobia, where people developed a fear of going out. You know, and I mean, my wife, she'll go out once a week shopping. You know, get her to go out any other time, you've got no chance.
But I think the pandemic also changed the, what we call it, the supply side, which you had all of these businesses that would have traditionally been in-person businesses went online. So it also, and obviously home working became something that wasn't possible to something that was normal. So it changed both sides of the equation.
I mean, there are still a number of people who are working from home. I know of at least one government department that have civil servants that are still working from home and no plans for them to go back. You know, and if you try to lead by example, you're not just a very good example. I mean, my sister-in-law, she works in an insurance company. During the pandemic, they all shut down, they worked from home, all the rest of it. The boss then decided to sell the building, so they haven't got a building to go back to, even if they want to.
But it doesn't necessarily,
but
it's a bad thing, right? Because if you work from home, it still boosts a certain amount of employment, for example. People started to use this deliveries and so on, so therefore that boosts demand for the lower paid jobs.
Yeah.
And it's clearly helped for some people to get employment. Mm. So we're losing in some dimension, but we may gain in the other. And also with all this technological, digital senses, it's not only we reformate certain industry, but we also get probably new jobs emerging. And that clearly good thing for a new generation who completely consumed by use of digital devices.
Concern about like removing the human aspect of a lot of things, because that's like quite nice to talk to people and to like have those little conversation and interactions. And I think now particularly there's like a lot of groups who are very, very lonely, so it's like, are we risking like becoming more and more divided and
isolated.
Yes.
Yeah. Like particularly like young people and I think old people are like, yeah, you spend a lot of time on social media but you're not actually creating connections with anybody, and if you're constantly like doing things through apps and everything, then
and people are not having trust as well. They don't have trust to share their old details and everything, like even though with the neighbor, yeah, they don't trust. Yes. So that the community is dividing, so rather than going with alone or just quarantine yourself,
you have to share trust.
As you know, that sometimes some of the people are scared that, or if we are asking that for the neighbors, that like for example, if I say, do you need anything, and some people have got like mental depression. Mm-hmm. And they are says, yeah, okay, we are fine, but we don't want anything, we don't want to share anything, we just want to live by ourselves. So that is, again, it's divided the communities, because families are coming and they say, don't share anything, your information, anything with the neighbor, even though if you know any of them, if they share you all the data, or even though it's nothing, the data that they're not sharing to us, but still, yes.
So you're talking in terms of interviewing and talking to them about this project, neighbours? Because, or are you talking
general,
asking the neighbours how they are?
Yes.
Sorry, can I just bring it back? So in terms of your experiences, and we want to hear from our public, is how is your experience around, so for example, if you're like in the community, if you're at university, how do you access health services? That's the question we need to be asking.
Yeah.
So I want to hear from you guys in terms of what your experience and what you see in your current communities, and maybe also what you'd like to see.
It's very online, like ridiculously online, and it feels very much like you're filling out forms, and like the GPs obviously have to like log all the data and they have a lot more paperwork to do. So it feels like you're kind of missing the like sitting down, and especially with like health, like I have a lot of disabilities, so it takes me a long time to like explain why this issue is happening. So like if I'm constantly going to the doctor, it's constantly like booking online, phoning up, them calling me, and you're just missing that like sitting down with a human and going, this is happening and I'm kind of scared, you know?
Yeah, it's not, you know how to access it.
Yeah.
is like some people, we're at a different extreme. So we've got the extreme of where people can't access it because they're the older edge generation, the kind of the missed generation.
Just like people with anxiety.
Or people with certain health issues.
Yeah.
Who there is that, there's no in between to support those. Thank you for sharing, that's really important. Can I just ask you then, when was the last experience that you had of accessing either the NHS or your locum, whatever it is, regardless whether it's dentists, doctors, how was that experience for you?
I had this really bad chest pain and I was like I almost called an ambulance. I was like, I'll break in the GP.
It got that bad? Wow.
Yeah, and I went to, I phoned the GP, it was a telephone conversation, it was 3 minutes, obviously no physical checks because it's on the phone.
Yeah,
I'd be very impressed if she could reach a hand through the phone.
Well, we might get to that when we get to AI.
But it was just like, oh yeah, it's probably just indigestion and that's it. And it's like,
you buy now, I've got another call.
Yeah, and I understand that they are very, very busy and underpaid and overworked, but like, we can't keep on falling back on technology to make things more effective when that comes at a very real cost.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
That's an interesting observation, because especially with 5G right near, you know, to us, so new to us, every video consultations with NHS, with GPs, is something that's on the agenda when 5G strikes us.
Yeah.
Because these will be increased in numbers, and as you said, that reduces the human contact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for whatever reason, to reduce the amount of work, yes, that could be good, because that means that the workers are released for more, you know, important cases. But then it does reduce the human contact, and how much do you trust just being consulted on the video call?
Yeah.
I remember that we were doing a project where this was being tested at one of the surgeries in Leicester,
mm-hmm.
where there is video consultation, and private companies have installed those sort of medic spot where somebody would just go in, walk in. There's a doctor who's sitting on the video call. They'll ask you to take your blood pressure, take your temperature yourself, put the readings in the monitor, and then they'll advise you accordingly. So there's no human sitting in physically. So that's the kind of thing that we're looking forward to. But yes, it just loses human touch.
Mm. I'm not looking forward to that. And this is the thing, the narrative we keep hearing about since COVID. However, they were busy before. We were still getting to see the GP. We were still getting the appointments. Yeah, you had to wait in queue, whatever. But we were still seeing somebody.
Mm.
And there are illnesses, especially mental health and well-being issues, that you need to see somebody, not look at a phone or put input stuff. So I don't like the idea of that. I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just one slight clause to that is, there are vulnerable patients. First of all, I mean, this is all pilot, they give you the option to opt out from that. But obviously we think that over time this option also would disappear. But then the second thing is that there are vulnerable patients who would not be put to test through that system. This is perhaps only for, you know, a mild sort of symptoms that you choose to, you know, use that sort of option. But yes, as Abida was saying, that, you know, they could be a vulnerable person, especially around mental health, well-being, those that really have to be looked after through somebody and in a physical environment.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there is an option, and then there is vulnerability. So there are different strands that we have to look into.
My GP, my blood pressure is quite high, so they're trying to get it to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent me a link. So I had to put it every single day so they could monitor it. I could have put anything in there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I could have absolutely put anything in there. The machine that I had at home, I had two machines at home giving me two different readings.
Mm.
So it was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just...
You know what I mean? So how are they going to do the diagnosis? I have no idea.
Yeah.
And they've increased my medication.
I feel like that's always there. They never think about what else you can need. It's always just, okay, medication. We'll give you this medication, we'll give you this. Even me, when I was going to the doctors for my anxiety and whatever, when I would have my phone, but okay,
right? So it's around, there is one of the values which is around trust and how to build trust and the different stakeholders within a particular space. I think trust does play a big role, but that's true of any kind of public engagement, like I would imagine. So, who's got civil society or civic society? Depends on how you read my dodgy writing. Okay, if you two want to come and sit here for me, thank you very much.
So
just at the end there, those two seats there this side. Yes, thank you. Who's got big tech? So big tech, you sit opposite. You sit opposite civil society. Big tech over that side. Yes, please. And who has got governments? Governments, you want to sit these two seats here.
What does yours say?
Research.
Research.
Startups. You've got startups.
It's me. Startups.
So startups on the end, these two tables, these two seats here.
After take one, go on.
Thank you.
These two seats here.
How are you doing? How about you?
I'm very well, thank you. Much has been done.
And then last but not least, the researchers. Just
one,
please.
No, I was just hoping. Sometimes
that's my back. Okay. So you're taking on the mantle of your respective stakeholder spaces, right? So in front of you, and I appreciate apologies, the layout is the best. I'm sure I fit 10 people around the table in the most economical way I can find. So on that board in front of you, you've got five different pieces that represent basically kind of different outcomes. So there's one which is around privacy, one which is about trust. One which is about data concentration, another which is about control, another one which is about civil benefit. So, the idea is that you will each have two individual targets to try and reach as a part of the game. So, underneath the little tokens in front of you, you've got three different outcomes or three different objectives. Do not share those objectives with anybody else, just keep it amongst in your pairs. And what I would like you to do out of those three is choose two and discard the other. So just choose two of them and then discard the other. So, what those objectives will do will basically give you a target for one of those values to move in a particular direction and to have a particular value at the end of the game. So, for example, dear civil society, if you chose an objective that said to reach trust at level 30, or increase trust by 30, is that by the end of the game, you want that to be at 30. That's your objective. And you'll have two of those. Okay? So the one that you've discarded, please hand back to me. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
So we do discard.
You're still discussing, no worries.
We put it on the ones that help us the most.
That's the idea.
No, that's not us. We're red. We put one here, one there.
Yeah, let's see what the third one says. We'll come back.
So you divided your votes?
Yes.
Yes. So we are.
Because we're smart.
Yeah, we're red.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're red.
Okay.
government.
We did.
What about them?
skills matching and smart ID.
Why did you choose the skill matching?
We're really into leveling up.
Okay, so we have two clear winners then.
Clearly.
So these three get removed from the game. Please take your tokens back.
What colour are you?
Pink.
We take all our tokens.
Those.
Yes, yeah. So the two, your two tokens, you can take them back. Those are the two with the most votes.
Okay.
Is that
pink?
That
is that pink.
We'll get it out in a second. There we go. Is it falling out?
We don't know what the word
comes
from. Got it. Excellent. Okay, so who wants to do the honours? Do you want to move those respective pieces? So that one goes back to.
You're supposed to hit it, or can you go above it?
Oh, you can go above it. Okay, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can exceed. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
So now you can keep those two. You can keep the two cards that you've already got, and I will give you another one. Did you take it back?
No, this is the different one. We could pick two.
We haven't got.
So you did. You put one down, and then you
had
two.
How did that feel? The first one. Look a bit confused.
Yeah, it is confused.
I don't know what happened. Which part are you confused?
I think
the objective of the game.
Oh, did you? You don't get another one.
I think the aim is the objective is what you want. And how to get to your objective, which is raise privacy to 20,
and hopefully
raise public benefit to 30.
So you can.
So that is your objective.
Choose another one.
Yeah, but we
have to get to that goal.
Okay.
And you do that through by.
By voting.
By voting, yeah. But what essentially you need to
put your money there.
Are you helping me?
No.
You got already. Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, surely we've got to try and influence.
Oh, yeah.
Big tech. We need to try and use what influence we can for social benefit.
Nothing wrong with that. Wrong with that at all.
I mean, already they're ditching, you know, your counters. I mean, this is the role of big.
Let's go with that.
Okay, so again, we've got two clear winners. So.
But then it gets
taken.
Or
does
it? Are you getting closer to your objective?
You've done one of them, definitely.
You've reached it. Why?
We're happy about that.
Have we raised trust to 30? Have we raised control to 20?
Did you bring that back already?
Yeah, this one has to be.
Okay.
It's supposed to be the back.
One, two.
So.
30.
We're going to get into a little bit of an interesting part of the game, huh? Thank you very much.
No. I want to. Why's control gone back?
The control went down minus 3.
Yeah.
And plus 3.
Oh, sorry, guys.
So, who spotted that government might control to go up? Anybody spot that? So, what we're going
to
do?
Are we allowed to vote?
Oh, well. You will get one vote each.
Oh dear.
Oh god.
Which one? No, that's this far. There's this clearly
no,
that
one. No.
Wait, no.
Oh, no.
Who was the business?
Yeah, I mean, you were working
you're
with us.
Really
yeah, like we were. Sorry?
You've got the unit. You've got an offer on the table that I'm
interested.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What
do you want me to
do? Whose is this card?
I don't think it will
make any difference. Because you were working with us.
Thank you so much.
It's
Thank you so much.
So where the casting last
you
went?
You are, yes.
So
we'll give you money as well.
They just took it off there.
We
negotiated with you because they had done that.
We hadn't put it on.
Oh, yeah.
We will give you back your token if you vote for smart CCTV.
No, we'd rather do that.
Yeah, I mean...
We had an agreement.
Remember what he said? We'll come back to you. Remember when we came knocking on your door?
Yeah. Well, we didn't like what you were offering.
So if you want to take a total...
Call the revolution. We're just going to build a wall.
Okay, so Dean, do you want to move the tokens?
Well, we've got one left if anyone wants to.
I'll move that back.
We did start chatting with it.
So, how many objectives?
Just
were
what I did.
You achieved both.
I did.
Well,
we achieved both.
Well,
Julie was the same part of the
So who lost?
Trust and
concentration.
Okay. Benefit the highest.
So trust and strong society lost.
So can you two rejoin your groups and we'll have a little bit of reflection next.
I think I probably would want to start with a question. First of all, when we talk about smart cities and citizens, then I feel that it first need to be dictated by society, by citizens, in terms of what do they want in terms of smart city. It need to come from what people would want in the first place. But second question is that which relevant when we create whatever is a technology driven smart cities or whatever the solutions, new solutions we come up, then we also need to think about responsibilities, whose responsibilities. I mean, even if we talk about whatever, if we let's say at some point decide that let's put trams, driverless trams or driverless cars, moving people from one place to the other, we need to think whose responsibilities it would be for these driverless cars, right? If there is some accident or malfunctioning happening that involves human beings. And that's probably two things that immediately comes to my mind. It's A, smart cities need to come from the what people want and what could help them, rather than come up with this whatever smart water motorways and people think, why not? We need it. It's not good. It doesn't work for us. As well as responsibilities, whose responsibilities it is if we use these technologies, whose responsibilities is to say how safe to use these technologies, how safe to use these smart cities facilities for human beings.
So essentially, we're all responsible and we are responsible pretty much, and we need to take ownership.
Yeah.
But I think part of the issue here is who we're going to call the citizens, like when you're talking about transport or responsibility, because if you take Leicester, you've got the population that lives here, but then you have a big workforce that comes in from outside to work here. And so, in a certain sense, who are the citizens? Because you've got the commuters coming in, who may have their preferences. You've then got the residents living here who have to put up with the motorway and have to put up with all the traffic coming in. So I think there's a question of who the citizens are that the smart city is supposed to be for. So if we were to say, okay, what do you want a smart city to look like? The commuters would have a very different answer than the people who live here. And so I think part of the issue is how to resolve that tension between these different preferences. And obviously the way the world is, I think the commuters tend to have more weight because they tend to be more affluent. And so the local residents can kind of get forgotten.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, with regard to the smart city, it might sound silly at that, but does it start being not smart once you go outside the city boundary? Mm. And yeah, obviously you have to take into account the fact you do have people who travel in either for work, education, or what your medical needs. And therefore, yeah, I mean, it's okay turn around and say, yeah, let's have a smart city, let's improve this, let's improve that. The problem still comes down to the fact that if people don't understand what smartness is, what's actually available to them, they will shun it. I mean, you know, there's already proof of that to an extent. Tesco's. How many people are shunning the self-service tills as a sort of protest against the fact that they're cutting back on staff? I mean, isn't that a sort of turning your back on technology and the smartness? Yeah, by turning around and saying, I am not prepared to be that smart. I still want a human being to put my tin of baked beans through the zapper.
I think we need to take a step back and think about why we even want smart cities, and also be way less patronising towards people who may have issues with that. Because, like I study a lot about Regency era culture and literature, and obviously there were the Luddites and bringing in the first technologies into the workspace, and it's exactly the same conversation. Like, these stupid people who don't want to learn, who can't be bothered to learn, who are usually poor, who are usually talking this certain way, dressed this way, they don't want to learn, and they're the issue, and they're getting in the way of our golden Arcadia, which we're going to construct through technology. Like, it just, the issue with smart cities and everything that we've been talking about are issues that will always exist in society. So unless we're going to solve capitalism, climate change, bigotry and inequality, unless we're going to fund things properly, there will always be issues with this. Like, there's a Jewish community called the Hasidic community. They don't use technology. They, not because they don't want to, people, some people do use technology, but it's a choice they've made to remain separate from the Goyim world, which has, particularly for the Hasidic community, destroyed their ways of life, which were like small villages in Eastern Europe. Like, they've lost everything. They shouldn't be more or less able to access cities and society and wider culture just because of the way that they live. Like, why do we need smart cities? Why do we need to constantly be online, constantly involved in technology? And is that even a good thing? Because, like, 100 years down the line, if we find out, oh, this is actually really bad for us, then what are we going to do? You know?
Yeah.
That should be, like, plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, uranium, when that was a new thing, people put that in everything. And it's like,
choice is important.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think one most important bit I learned from the session was the wicked problem solving and hands-on experience with it, because I've only been reading around it. So it was fantastic way of expressing our opinions and, you know, the whole play around, you know, getting your objectives being on the top. And so the highlight for me from the session was this gameplay. But I kind of agree with the number of thoughts that was circulated today, you know, with accessibility one point, having a choice another point. So it was really good to hear from different strands of, you know, opinions and people coming from different backgrounds or different work cultures or communities, and just hearing, because perhaps often, I mean, when you're knitted together as a one project team, you need new ideas. So I think today was a day when we got to share new ideas with all of you, and some new thoughts in terms of couple of questions around what is the role of citizens. I think one thing is raising voice, which we've all done. So like Sean just mentioned, so she's given us a very good point. So this is the key role that citizens should play, raise their voices, because we want to hear whether smart cities for them is good or not, whether they would want a smart city or not. So, you know, expressing their opinions is very important. So that's one of the key roles that citizens, I feel, should play in any sort of scenario. So it's very important at this stage.
Those two. We also need to think, to ask somebody to think about, okay, if we are going to implement these smart city projects, it means that we also need to figure out what kind of impact it will produce, A, on kind of different ages of a population, B, on where it's likely to create increase in unemployment, in which sector. But surely it's also can create question in which sector it may help to increase employment, right? For example, if for elderly people, going to example of these automatic checkouts, that it start to be not really fun, not enjoyable, too difficult to go shopping, so they might say, okay, I will order online and driver will bring it and yeah. I'll have conversation with driver. And the rest of the time that I wouldn't spend to go shopping, maybe self-care person will come to me and talk to me and help me. So therefore, probably, yeah, city council governments need to think what kind of employment can go up because of impact of digital technology and who do we need, what kind of needs it can create. So it need to be better planned. So.
But I think, I mean, smart cities are not going to magically solve the complex trade-offs in a city, right, with cycle lanes or what type of jobs we want. So I think, but then there's the question of whether digital allows you to get preference, get better information on preferences to at least allow you to make an informed decision on, say, cycle lanes or, you know, monitor the road usage and decide, you know, where you could put a cycle lane and what, I don't know. But I mean, it's not going to solve, tech in itself, it's not going to magically solve the fact that one person wants one thing and another wants another, is it?
Just to end it, I just wanted to, if you could just say briefly about what your take is on what you've experienced this afternoon or this morning in terms of the, you know, the workshop and the game and how everything went. One thing that you would take away from what you've learned today.
I think partially kind of I was brought to this workshop because of curiosity and partially also because of my interest as an economist. And I find it quite informative and it's broadening my understanding of what smart city are, especially kind of going back to the 8 points raised by the Swedish, if I remember correctly, government in terms of what how they interpret what smart city is, because I agree that whenever you will say smart city, I bet that average person would think about that 0.8. So that's how it is for me, and it is much broader, and I did like that it's much broader definition how it was introduced, and I think that's probably where it is important to broaden people's understanding what smart city is. In terms of game, it was interesting. I mean, yes, I was a bit confused at the start and till almost the end. But it was engaging because I was also asking questions. So, okay, I understand. So it's more about points, gaining points, but you're also writing description on the cards. What's the point of this description? But then, yes, it started to make sense. Yeah, descriptions are because... Yes, sometimes in order to gain something, you probably need to produce a negative impact as well. And you cannot avoid it. You cannot do everything perfectly. So there would be some people who are not necessarily happy. But whether as a government, as a society, as council, we just need to try to aim for probably minimizing this negative impact and aiming for... the best outcome for everybody. But yes, it was very engaging and it's very nice to expose to a variety of people with different thoughts and different backgrounds.
Yeah, I think that the main thing I take away from the session is again that smart cities just mean so many different things. You know, it's a very, very broad concept and debate, and the more we work on it, the more broad it becomes. So I think that's, you know, interesting and slightly surprising, and I think that's you know, fascinating going forward to see how that will develop. In terms of the game, yeah, it was fun. I think it nicely illustrates these the different trade-offs and the actors that are driving the smart city, because we tend to think, oh, what would an ideal smart city look like, which is for the public good, but there's obviously all these other entities driving the reality of the smart city. And so I think there's also the question of, well, if we want a smart city to look like this, be inclusive, be for the social good and so on, then how can we make that happen on a practical level? So.
Yes. So we think that this is a project that
you're
is giving.
Only getting one sentence. I'll say.
Only one last point, that this is a smart project is going to help you out.
She's resilient.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. So you are still looking forward for the basic one.
No. You are putting words into my mouth. I am looking forward. I am saying I am not sure. So whether it is going to be a positive or negative,
yes,
you don't know.
Thank you so much. Thank
you're
you.
Very
hi. I want to know about your experience here today.
Hi, I'm Sean. My experience here today has been, really interesting. I feel like I've learned a lot, and it's nice to know, because sometimes you feel like a bit of a technophobe, like having fears that may seem really outlandish, but it's nice to talk to people who know more and to people who also have those concerns, and to see, like, this is something that's shared within the community and the community can work together to solve these issues.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Hi, Swati.
Hello.
What is your experience? Please share it with us.
Okay, so I'm Swati. I'm a senior lecturer in economics at De Montfort. And one takeaway that I'm going home with after this session is the amount of diversity in the thoughts around this whole project that people have around what a smart city is, whether the city should be smart, whether it helps, or whether it's a drawback. So a huge, huge diversity in opinions. And I think we really need to bring thoughts together at one point so that it turns into a more beneficial sort of project. Not just project, but the whole idea around Leicester becoming smart city. All the thoughts should come together, and everyone should come together to make it a more beneficial outcome. So, yeah, I think that's it. So there's diversity, and we need to bring that together.
I agree with your point. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm from Leicester.
Hi, can I disturb you for a while?
Yeah.
My name is Bintu, and how was your experience today with our smart city project?
Sorry, could you please repeat, because I have some noises coming.
My name is Bintu.
Yeah.
And how was your experience today with the smart city project? That what you have learned, and what is your views, perceptions for this project?
No, it is quite interesting. And for me, it was informative in terms of understanding what the smart city project is and what it includes. Because, as I already said, that whenever you talk about smart city, it's immediately a flag app or technology. It's about digital. But as it was pointed out during the presentation, so it's much more than that. It also can be including things like thinking about climate change, thinking about how to keep green space within the cities, and how to be more inclusive society on many different grounds. So I found that it's quite an interesting direction. It was quite engaging and quite interesting interaction in terms of game.
Is very important. So that's one of the key roles that citizens, I feel, should play in any sort of scenario. So it's very important at this stage.
Yeah.
So yeah, those two.
Thank you. What about you? Shall I keep this to you?
That away from me.
Okay.
Okay,
no problem. Take it. What's your opinion? No problem.
I think I agree with you about people
citizens, whatever that means, having their own voice and being able to voice their opinions about this for those reasons that you said, Sean, people not having access to resource. But it's about how you access the citizens. That's the thing, because you need to work more out of the box in terms of talking to communities and talking to individuals to get the bigger picture about what's going on. If you keep going to the same kind of stakeholders or gatekeepers, you're going to get the same answers, or you're going to get the agreeable answers that you want to hear, and that's what's dangerous more than anything else.
That's reflections from the game.
The game was really good because some of the things were pushing you towards a certain way, and you could see that with the way they're written out. But it was the negotiating, and we had to keep remembering researchers' head. I was like, this is really interesting from a research point of view, but also looking at it from the perspective of the community and the wider picture. That was where we were coming from as well, looking at the environment and what's going to benefit the community. Is this going to be a good story? You know, is this going to actually be of use in long term as well? So the game was quite good once we understood what that was.
And this is very useful for you as well, for your clients.
In our day-to-day, it's like with all the way, we all influence
sometimes,
something or a community or a fraction of our society, right? Mm. And we can all have the influencing voice, because all around that table were the big tech. Everyone had a part to play.
Yeah.
So it's that whole big picture that we're talking about, that when you have people around the table, it's when those conversations can happen.
But also those conversations, linking to what you just said, we were also coming with our experiences. Even though you were asking us to play a role, we were actually bringing our own personal experiences into that role as well.
So that we are putting in the game.
That's key, though.
That is key.
And I think it would be like harder for other community groups who haven't often been heard or feel like their opinion is valid or their experiences are what's cared about. What's the point of ever speaking up about the injustices that they face or things that they need?
But that's
they feel like nothing's going to happen. So that's why I think it's really important for us to be opening these conversations, so we can at least provide a space for them to feel like, okay, well, we're going to listen to you, get everything off your chest, basically.
Yeah. But also how different voices can come together.